Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It gives me great pleasure once again to be here. And you'll be seeing me more often because I'll be coming back again next week. All right. For some of us, just some updates. All right. Thank you for praying, especially for my father. He is still bedridden in the hospital since 31st of March. All right. It has been almost 1 month now. And the reason why he is in the hospital, it's because he has internal bleeding, especially in the stomach area. And he had undergone at least 2 surgeries for now over the past few weeks. And on Wednesday, he had a scope, you know, the scope just to check on the bleeding site. And apparently, they are still unable to find out, you know, or patch up the wound and the spot. But I do continue to pray for him. He is also getting lung infection because he has been bedridden for almost 1 month now. And for those who are aware of it, I thank you for your prayers so far. And I do urge you to continue to pray for him, especially for my mom. He is in Klang Hospital, which is quite a fair bit of distance from us. So we, my wife and I, we often travel back to Klang just to keep my mom company, especially during this past 1 month. Okay, so do pray for us. And we know that, you know, the COVID-19 cases has been on the rise. Do keep yourself safe, follow all the SOPs and stuff. All right, that's for the first update. And the second update is that, also for those who know, Celine will be giving birth, we'll be expecting a baby girl first week of June, if nothing happens on the 4th of June. So this period of time is especially challenging for us because we need to juggle between my father, our family, and then Celine's checkup here and there, and also church ministry. So continue to remember us in your prayer. And lastly, one last announcement is that before we start, all right, we'll be going away from the book of James because I'll be preaching and continuing with the book of James in KLBC Bukit Bintang. So you can follow on with the series in the book of James through online platform. So for you here, okay, we'll be starting off, not to say a new series, but it will be topical for these few weeks. And we'll be teaching or we'll be talking about some very interesting topics in the future, in near future. All right, so do stay tuned. And for those who are actually looking forward to follow me online or follow the study of the Book of James, you can continue to follow it in our KLBC Facebook page or even the KLBC YouTube page. All right? So before we start, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer together? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again for giving us this privilege to come before you, offering all our prayers, all our concerns, all the challenges that we are facing onto your hands. And Lord, we know that you are a faithful God, and Lord, we pray that you continue to use your Holy Spirit to teach us how to obey you, how to fear you. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, today's message will be a pleasing one, will be a reminder for most of us here, Lord, if we have fallen away from you, Lord. We pray that you forgive us, and Lord, you give us a heart of repentance as we come back to you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we uphold, give thanks, and pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to start off with the last passage of the book of Ecclesiastes. All right. Before this, I think we touched upon the futility of pursuing wealth. Why is it futile? Why is it worthless or, you know, meaningless to actually pursue earthly wealth? And of course, today, as we come to the last passage, there's a reason why I chose the last passage. Basically, it's the few last verses of the book of Ecclesiastes is so that we can conclude what life is all about without God in the picture, without God in the picture. Now, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, it is something like a black sheep of the Bible. You notice that, you know, the teachings in the book of Ecclesiastes doesn't really fall in line with the other books of the Bible. It is saying that life is meaningless. You do this, you work, meaningless. You have pleasure, it is meaningless. Now, if we are not careful, right, if we are not careful, it may influence us on how we choose to live our life here on earth. But we have to remember that Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon, and the way that he looks at life is that life under the sun, life without God is meaningless. So we have to be careful when we read the book of Ecclesiastes. And he started off the book with the premise that everything is meaningless. So for students today, Papa, Mama, teachers, why are we continuing with our studies? It is meaningless because Pastor Caleb says so. Then I'll be in great trouble. We notice that in the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon actually said that, you know, wisdom, pleasure, work will not be able to fill the emptiness life brings without God in the picture. So let us go through the last passage of the book of Ecclesiastes together and see how King Solomon, the one who is said the wisest man ever lived on earth, conclude this interesting book about how we should live our life here on earth. Everything is meaningless without God. And we can see that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. Not only was a teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Verse 11, the words of the wise are like goats. They are collector sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now we can split this passage into two big concepts. And the first one is life is a school. You can see that from verses 9 to 12. And the second part of it is life is a stewardship from verses 13 to 14. Now the first part, life is a school. Now if we are to treat life as a school for us to learn the lessons God intends for us here on earth, you and I, we can rest assured that we can learn from this teacher because of the characteristic that he exhibited as recorded in verses 9 and 10. Now, life is a school. Solomon was wise. He imparted or taught knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out the right words, and he wrote what was upright and true. So we can rest assured that we can learn from this teacher here. And King Solomon wrote a lot of books. The book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, the book of Proverbs. Right? He was wise. And when we say that life is like a school, and we are to learn from all the positive as well as the negatives of life. Now, brothers and sisters, God teaches us mainly from his word, the scripture, the Bible that we are holding right now. God teaches us doctrines. God teaches us ethics. God teaches us practical living and important teachings through the Bible. Now, God also teaches us through creation. He taught us in history of mankind and the many experiences of life. And King Solomon, as we know as the wisest man of earth, he studied, he explored many, many subjects. He undertook many, many big projects, and he recorded some of his conclusion in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes so that the knowledge obtained could be shared to the people. Now, Solomon's teaching was also orderly in nature. It was researched thoroughly. And he weighed his findings, he weighed his conclusions, he arranged them in an orderly fashion. And we know that he was careful to use the right words that could win the attention of his listeners, his readers. Now, as we read through Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that he did not dilute his message or flatter his congregation. But rather, he spoke of what was true as recorded repeatedly in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 to 9. Listen, this is what he said. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right, and my mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Now, the reason why we should heed Solomon's word, apart from the fact that he was wise, apart from the fact that he imparted and taught knowledge to the people, apart from the fact that he pondered and chose the right words, is that this teacher, he claimed that his words were inspired and given by God, the one shepherd in verse 11. The words of the wise are like goats. They are collected saying like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. And this shepherd, King Solomon said, is God himself. The Holy Spirit enabled men of God, since Moses and many more, to write the scripture as God intended it to be, complete and without error. Now, some of us may be struggling. How correct or how true is the Bible? Is it to the point of every, you know, commas, any punctuation marks? Or is there a certain place where we have errors in the scripture? How punctuate or how real is our Bible to us today? And we can see that from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 says this: above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we must understand, everything that is recorded in the scripture, it is not breathed by men. We notice that the scripture has been written, you know, over the 3,000 years, over 40 authors, and they have one coherent story to tell. It is consistent from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And of course, sometimes we ask, because life is a school, sometimes we ask, how can a God who claims to love us so much kills off people in the Old Testament? How can a God who loves us so much prepare heaven for us, but yet at the same time, there is hell available to those who choose not to obey him? Why? We will deal with that in the coming weeks, because I believe these are some of the questions we may have in our hearts. What if? What if my parents did not accept Christ? Where will they go? We will deal with some of these very, very hard questions in the future. But for now, what can we hope to gain from all these lessons of life? And Solomon said that, you know, we have two items here. They are gold and nails to the words of the wise. Both items are necessary if we are to learn about God's truth. Now, if you are not familiar, the one on the right hand, yes, that is elephant goat. All right, that is basically to guide or to poke the elephant to a certain direction. And similarly, God taught us to pay attention to pursue the truth that is found in the scripture. And the nails, that will give us something that we can hang on to what we have learned so far. Now, in the school setting, especially for the kids, for the youth, or even for some of us today, if we treat life as a school, good teaching requires both the student to be motivated to study, and of course, we have the other part where the teachers to be able to nail the lesson down in ways that make sense to all students. Now, these lessons of life both act as goats and nails, moving you and I along the direction of the truth of God, and nailing them firmly into our hearts and minds so that we will remember the lessons that we have learned. Now, no doubt that we are forgetful people. All right? We can see that in the history of Israel. they are forgetful people. They sin against God, they repent, after that they live in peace with God, then once again they sin against God again and again, and we can see that in the history of Israel. Verse 12, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to the scripture. Of making many books, there is no end, and that much study wearies the body. Now, this is not, again, to give us an excuse not to study. But rather, this is literally to warn us against learning too much from studying. And as students, I believe that, you know, you and I will be happy. Pastor Kelo said, no ni lah, don't study so much. Right? We just need to focus on the Bible, and that's enough. Okay, Dajin is like, yes, agree. This is not a biblical excuse not to study too much. This is not the case, sadly. This verse serves as a warning to the student not to go beyond anything in addition to the words of the wise, what God has written in His Word. We have to understand this. Endless opinions about life, philosophies of life, how we should live, could be read and studied forever and ever. There are many, many different theology or even philosophies about life that we can have access to. Especially, we are at an age where information is at our fingertips. We can just search for anything online. And if we are not careful, this verse is saying that if we are not careful, we will be easily influenced by all these philosophies of life that may not be in tune with God has in mind. Memes, we have TikToks, we have Facebook, we have Instagrams. You know, all this replaces our precious time feeding ourselves on the Word of God. And nowadays, for the youth, we have Discord as well. Right, guys? Discords? So let us not permit men's books to rob us of God's wisdom. Because a wise word or important truth may be unpleasant at first when it is applied to our lives. But rest for sure that it will definitely keep us in moving in God's direction. Like the elephant goat that is poking at us. And likewise, we also have to remember that the Holy Spirit is present in us and around us. And this Holy Spirit can use gifted human teachers to instruct us, to nail all that we have learned into our hearts. And there are always new lessons to learn and new tests to face as we seek to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior. Yes, life is like a school, and we must humble ourselves and learn all that we can, because as we know, our time here on earth is really short. I may, you know, ping pong piang and gone back to the Lord tomorrow, and I'm just 38 this year. Life is short, especially with all these uncertainties around us. Life is short. And therefore, we should use it to learn important truth, because the important truth that we learn right now, it will affect how we live our life right now, and it will affect the life beyond this, the life eternity. Now, for the second part of this passage that is found in verses 13 and 14, we have to acknowledge that God is the giver of life, and our lives are not our own. We do not even know the number of hairs of our head, let alone the day when death is upon us. And life is a stewardship, and since we are stewards of our lives, one day, whether we like it or not, one day we must give an account to God about what we have done with His gift of life to us. Now, some of us, we may just waste our lives here, while only a few are investing their lives in eternal matters. And Solomon showed us in the book of Ecclesiastes that we should enjoy life. Again, this is contradicting to what the Bible actually says. Enjoy life. This is like, can me? Can Christian enjoy life me? Alright, so when King Solomon said enjoy life, it doesn't mean, you know, you get drunk from day in, day out, you know, you go party all day long and stuff like that. But you do notice that in the book of Ecclesiastes, there are certain places where King Solomon brought us back to what God can provide us with. He can give us peace. He can give us joy. God let us experience love. All this are for us to enjoy, not only when we are in heaven, but right now. And we should search for purpose and the meaning of life. But sadly, we cannot find them in human endeavors. And Solomon presented his advice for those who lack purpose and those who lack direction in life, to fear God and to keep his commandments. Lastly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, King Solomon concluded the whole book with these two verses. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, if our lives are going to be purposeful, if you want to live a life that has purpose, that has direction, we can see that we must fulfill three obligations here. Firstly, it is to fear God. It is to fear God. Now, what does it mean to fearing God? What does it mean by fear God? The fear of the Lord is the attitude, if we go by definition, of reverence and awe that we show Him simply because we love Him, respect His power and His greatness. Now, the person who fears the Lord will pay attention to His word and to obey it. Now, in layman's term, we have an example here. Chambers once wrote this: the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. If you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So this is especially true for Chinese culture. You know, before we accepted Christ, if you have certain backgrounds, you know, in Chinese year, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, you're not supposed to, you know. And of course, in wedding, you have a whole set of ceremony, you know, rituals and stuff like that. Because if you don't do that, you know, this will happen. You have fear of this, you have fear of that. All right? So we are able to see that if we put our fear in the proper place, you will fear nothing else. It's above all else you fear God, there is nothing else that we can fear. There's nothing else that can cause us to fear. And likewise, I want to encourage you, especially for all of you here, because first of all, I believe that you fear God. And that is why you have this confidence in God, that you are willing to come here to worship God despite the rise in COVID-19 cases. Because we have faith in this God who is so powerful that is able to protect you and I. As long as we you know, follow the SOPs, the authority will not catch us. And for that, we give thanks to God because we are able to come back to worship God, to listen to His word physically. Unholy fear makes people run away from God. Holy fear brings us to our knees in loving submission to God. Now, unholy fears, we can talk about it, you know, when we look at the Old Testament. Wow! The God who created the heavens and the earth, this Jehovah God, Yahweh, He is so bloody. He kills people off as long as they don't submit to Him. That is unholy fear. You want to keep yourself away from a God that is so bloody without knowing why. Holy fear. You notice that the reason why God actually punished the Israelites, banished them, exiled them, is because of their adultery that they have committed against God. They have taken up idols in their hearts. And when God offers us salvation, there is a choice to accept or not to accept. So for those who accept, He gave us the identity to be called child of God. He gave us eternal life through Jesus Christ by faith. But of course, for those who choose not to, He must prepare somewhere for them. And whether we like it or not, whether you think it's fair or not, He has prepared so-called hell for them. Because for those who obey, heaven. For those who choose not to obey, somewhere else, hell. That's what we call the lake of eternal fire in the book of Revelation. And as we live out this holy fear for the Lord, we will not tempt the Lord by deliberately disobeying His commandments. We know that our God is a loving God, but the scripture actually warns us not to challenge His grace, not to challenge His patience for us. Now, Solomon started off the book of Proverbs with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, about the benefits of having the fear of the Lord in our lives, because it is the beginning of knowledge. And secondly, if our lives are going to be purposeful, we must keep His commandments. And God created life, and He knows how it should be managed. For those of us who actually take up, biology and chemistry, we know how complicated is it in our body, where everything works together to form us. And He wrote the scripture. God wrote the scripture that covers all aspects of our life. And a wise person reads, a wise person will obey this instruction. And the way to know about this instruction is to spend time daily in the scripture, getting to know the Father in heaven better, and to discover His will for us in our lives. And we need to bring our attention to the last part of verse 13, where it says, "For this is the whole duty of man." To fear God, keep His commandments, is the whole duty of man. In other words, this is the whole of man, the entirety of man, the reason for man to live. It is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Now, this simply sums up that life under the sun, as Solomon described in the book of Ecclesiastes. It was fragmented, it was discouraging, it was evil, it was full of foolishness and injustice. But when King Solomon looked at life from God's point of view, everything came together wholesomely. So if you and I, we want to live and to experience life to the fullest, first of all, we must begin with God in the picture. And lastly, if we are to live our life to be a purposeful one, we must prepare for final judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 says that, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing." Things that, whether it is good or evil. Things that we remain hidden from our parents, from our friends, from our teachers. All these hidden things, it is not hidden from God. And we may think that life is unfair, but we must remember that God will reveal every person's life according to how we responded to Him. Because He will bring every deed to judgment. And at this point, especially in Malaysia, we notice that, we see that man may seem to get away with sin, especially during this period of time where we have the lockdown and also the state of emergency. Everything the police said, we must obey without, a chance to appeal for it later, because now we are in the state of emergency until 31st of August. They seem to get away with it. But we have to remember, sins will eventually be exposed and they will be judged righteously. And you and I, we must not use life inconsistencies as an excuse for us to fail to live as God pleases. And six times through Solomon's observation recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us that to enjoy life while we can, but we often misunderstand it as to enjoy life however we can, including sinning against the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, we can enjoy life. We know that we are safe and secure in God's love because we have the security in the future. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. And there is no longer condemnation for our sin. That means when we face judgment at the end of the day, when God comes again, or rather when Jesus himself comes again, there is no longer condemnation whether to go up to heaven or go down to hell. But rather, we have to give an account to how we have lived our life since we have accepted Christ into our life. Our sins have been judged on the cross through Christ's death if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Those who have chosen not to, they will face judgment before his throne and be doomed forever in the lake of fire. Now, I am grateful to have accepted the Lord Jesus at the age of 14 years old. At that time, I was in Sandakan, and the church theme was Treasure in Heaven, taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. And this was my first turning point. And I was privileged to learn that, you know, it is futile to pursue treasure here on earth at such a young age, at the age of 14. Now, once again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So brothers and sisters, where is your treasure this morning? Where is your treasure this morning? Is it somewhere in certain banks in KL? Safely locked up, safe from all these vermin and moths? Or is it in somebody else's life that you are investing right now? And these verses guided my perception of this world. Everything is meaningless unless we include God in the picture. And I'm glad that I did not have to go through all the disappointments that, you know, Solomon has to come, you know, to come to the same conclusion. Solomon basically spent about 20 plus years of his life pursuing all this. And at the end of it all, before he dies, he come up with the book of Ecclesiastes with this conclusion. And the other turning point of my life is when I attended this another camp called Life Game when I was 19 years old. So as you can see, camps holds a special place in my heart because it is two camps that God chose to work in my life. And this camp, for those who have, I'm not sure whether any one of us actually attended this, you started off as a 15-year-old youth. And you have to go through life in the camp. And then you basically, you know, I have experience working as a bachelor degree. And then, you know, it is a city where everything is possible. It is just like, you know, KL and stuff like that. And as part of the game, I started to pursue a better job, you know, buy a better car, get a better pay, and I eventually got married in the city. And at the conclusion of the camp, it was brought to my attention that every earthly things that I have invested all my life in the camp just faded away like dust. At the end of it all, I resonated with King Solomon, where he claimed that everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. And the main verses, this camp was taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. But let us go through 26 and 27 today. Verse 26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Now, life would be simpler If we are just to die and everything fades into nothingness, that would be simpler. But unfortunately, for some of us perhaps, it is not so. Because after this, God will reward us according to what we have done here on earth. I made a choice at that time to offer my life to serve God in a full-time ministry because I was looking for meaning. I was looking for a purpose in my life. And that would only make sense if God is in the picture. And there are decisions to be made today, brothers and sisters, so that we can put into practice what the wise King Solomon taught us in the book of Ecclesiastes. Because until we make these decisions to live out in our lives, we will never benefit from them, no matter how wise King Solomon may have been. And we are reminded from the passage today that life is a school. And King Solomon, he has been wise, he has been orderly, he has been careful in choosing his words, and his instructions were inspired by God, as upright as true. And they act as goads to prod us to God's direction and to nail us the lessons firmly into our hearts. So let us be wise and to pursue the wisdom of God's word this morning instead of the wisdom of mere mortals, because as we know, we lack the energy, we lack the time to study all the books available on earth. And secondly, we also remember that life is a stewardship. Because when all has been said, all has been done. The question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, have we committed our lives to God? Both our present life and both the life of our future. Do we keep God and do we fear God and keep His commandments? And are we living a life based on God's standard? As we end this morning, let us come before the Lord and be reminded that there will be a judgment awaits us after our journey on earth is done. Are you ready? Are you ready to face the judgment that is to come as a believer of Christ? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that we have fallen away from you time and again. Father, we know that we are also forgetful people. At one point, we may have experience of your goodness. And at one time, we were convicted of our sin, Lord. But yet, Lord, we seem to always fall away and come back to you, fall away from you and come back to you again and again and again. Lord, this should not be the way. And Lord, we pray that you will reveal to us our natural self, that whether we truly belong to you in the first place. And Lord, we pray that you talk to us, especially through the passage this morning, that whether we have actually taken your word to be serious in our life, and whether we have accepted your word to be true, and it has the power to change us. So Lord, we have to come back to the original love that we have, the first love that we have with you since the beginning. We ask that your Holy Spirit to remind us of our first encounter with you many, many years ago. And Lord, we pray that it will be a refreshing one, that as we are reminded of who we are in you, you reminded us that our life here on earth is like a school, that we are to learn from you, we are to learn from the experiences of life. Because we know that in all these experiences, you will never forsake us and you are always here with us. And secondly, Lord, we know that life is a stewardship. You have given us life and we are to live it according to how you have programmed it for us. And Lord, we want to look upon you through the word of God this morning, that as we continue to follow you, that as we continue to pursue you, Lord, we want to be reminded that we are to fear you because you love us, you are the great and almighty God. For that, Lord, we give thanks to you for all that you have done, for sending Jesus Christ to the cross for our sins. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the gift to be called a child of God. We thank you for the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the freedom from the consequences of sin in our life. And Lord, we want to move people to you. We pray that, Lord, you will guide us on how to do it, because we know that we are living in the end of days. And Lord, we pray that you continue to give us wisdom from the book to guide us. So once again, Lord, we give thanks to you. We want to pray that for each and every brothers and sisters here this morning, that as we reflect upon our lives this morning, Lord, we want to pray that each and every one of us here will turn back to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for your almighty love for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.